Praise the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad that he's faithful? Come on, somebody, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Aren't you glad? Through the flood, through the fire, through the storm, through whatever it is that life's going to throw at us, we've got a Savior that stands right in the middle of it with us. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that he is not, we've mentioned it already, but he's not intimidated. He's not overcome. He's not overwhelmed. Amen. But I'm thankful tonight that he is everything that we need. And just appreciate him tonight. Hallelujah. Why don't we one more time give this choir a hand clap? Did a fantastic job. Sister Byerly, the musicians, those that are helping. Amen. Appreciate the talent of these young people. I was looking last night as the altar service had been lingering on, and there was some changing out of musicians and singers, and it wasn't long. You look up here, and the platform was full of, it was full of young people, campers, and I'm so glad tonight that the world doesn't have all the talent. Come on here. The world doesn't have all the talent, but I'm thankful that God's got some young people, amen, with giftings and talents and callings that he wants to do something tremendous in your life with. Hallelujah. We just appreciate all that has been done. If I can reiterate tonight some things that have already been said and mentioned, we one more time, we do want to say how much we appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be a part of Truth Camp and to be with you here this week. Truth Camp, and I know that some of these sentiments have been expressed already, but in the last 20 years, Truth Camp has made a difference in our lives, our personal family, and also we've got to watch. I've seen young people who come up through the youth groups as we were youth pastors, and what God's done in their lives at Youth Camp, and watching many of you as you're allowing God to help himself to your life. Just appreciate. I want to say we appreciate Brother Goodwin, all of the board, for their vision, for their desire to present such an opportunity for young people. Can we one more time just give a hand clap of appreciation for these? Amen. There's a lot of sacrifice, and it's already been mentioned as well, the pastors and workers and youth pastors and associates and lay ministers and just folks from various churches that have come that have made this week possible. We pray the Lord bless you abundantly. And I know that we're just reaping the rewards and watching what God's doing in the lives of these young people. And we're so thankful for all that has been done. Amen and amen. Well, forgive me. I do have an announcement. I almost forgot. But there were, I had several teams today that came to me, and I had some that had different things that they wanted to give to me. And before service, I said, all right, if you'll slip it to me or if you'll put it on the platform. And so tonight, this is a public service announcement. Do I have anybody from the orange team tonight? These folks, when I was a kid, one of my favorite drinks was Orange Crush. And the orange team wants everybody else to know they're out to crush the competition. So orange team, let's hear it from you one more time tonight. The orange team. And so there is your plug tonight. And then, is there anybody here from the purple? I got to ask you, does purple look better on me than yellow? There is a purple team who is excited to bring on the competition. And so anyway, these two teams tonight, they are serving notice on everybody else that they came to do business this week. I don't know who won today. I haven't asked Brother Barrow as to who was the winners today in competition. But these young people have been hard at it, and they are excited. We enjoyed the skits last night. I can't tell you how many kids campers came up to me and they said, "Brother Jake." They wouldn't say anything else. They just wanted to critique their form. And they're doing good. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. I will have to say my favorite impersonation of Jacob Smith had to be Brother Seth MacDonald. He put it on the top shelf. Amen. So if I get in any trouble tonight, I'm going to pass a microphone to him. I think he can handle it. Hallelujah. And something else that became a revelation, you had to be in here to watch the skits to understand this, but my wife and I didn't realize we needed so much marriage counseling in all of our 20 years of marriage. And Brother Darren wasn't in here to see the skits. I was filling him in on some of the skits. And I felt bad for Brother Darren because nearly in every skit, he was being chased off the platform somewhere. But how many of you love Brother Darren? Brother Darren's... They represented you well, Brother Darren. They was trying to capture the moments. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been good. I want to say I appreciate you young people for getting in these altars. And I tell you what, last night was just a little bit of heaven on earth. Was wonderful. But how many of you know God's got some more for us? God's got some things He wants to do. Hallelujah. Can we stand together? I want to read to you a passage of Scripture. I'm going to read one verse tonight. And in preparation for Truth Camp and praying, asking the Lord to place something in our hearts to deliver what He would want to deliver to the young people that are going to be here in this week. You see, I am of the persuasion that we are not here by coincidence. That it is just not by chance or luck that you arrived here. But I believe we serve a God who has divine plan, divine purpose, divine order. And long before you knew or before you could see, He saw you here. God's already been where you've been, and He's already at where you're headed. And as I was praying and doing my best to get the mind of the Lord, this thought had come to me before any other message that God had placed in my heart. And not all the time does God do this, but God had specifically challenged me that this would be for tonight. And so we just want to deliver here what the Lord has placed upon our hearts this evening. Proverbs, the 25th chapter. Proverbs, the 25th chapter in the 19th verse. I believe that all that God wants to say is important through whomever He wants to say it through. But I believe God wants to challenge us tonight, amen, through His Word. Help some young people here this evening. Help us, amen, as we get ready. It's hard to believe this week is so quickly passing us by. And here we just have a couple of nights left. But just looking here to His Word to help us. Proverbs 25 and verse number 19. If you're there with me, won't you say amen? The Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Somebody say, time of trouble. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. One more time, say it with me. Time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I believe tonight the question that should be proposed. This morning in our morning service, Brother Jerry Wilkerson, I don't know if he's here tonight. Brother Jerry Wilkerson preached a fantastic message about, go ahead and give him a hand clap. It was wonderful. Challenged me. I know challenge of young people. But talking about how serious it is to have a reality of the truth. Amen. An experience for ourselves. And something that we as young people, you as young people, I say we, I'm not quite as young as I used to be. But you as young people have had, but I think tonight that the question that God would like to ask, if I can ask this question in regards to the title of this message tonight, I'd just like to preach on, can God trust you with trouble? Amen. Can God trust you with trouble? I want you to look at your neighbor and ask him, look him right in the eye. Ask him, say, do you think God can trust you with trouble? Amen. Do you think God can trust you with trouble? Let's pray together tonight. Lift your hands to heaven. Can we do that one more time? Come on. I know tonight we're going to have fun. I know we're going to fellowship. We're going to do all those things. But right now it's important. Let's get our minds clear. Let's get our hearts open. Come on, young people. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power that has been made manifest in these services. Thank you for young people that have tarried in the altars. Thank you, Lord, tonight for lives that have been touched and changed and challenged. And Lord, we're asking one more time. We're asking, Father, tonight that you would anoint every heart and ear that is in this building. I pray, let us receive of your word. I ask, Father, that you would help us to plant it in the fertile ground of our hearts. I pray that you would help us to leave here different than the way we've come. I pray, anoint my mind and lips. Lord, hide me behind the cross. We thank you tonight for what you're going to do. We give you praise. We thank you in advance. Come on, would you one more time lift your voice and tell him. Say, Lord, I thank you in advance. I praise you in advance what you're going to do. I thank you, you're going to be my helper. I thank you, Lord, you're going to be my guide. I praise you tonight, Lord. Oh, you're going to give us strength in the struggles. You're going to give us victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Can God trust you with trouble? Here Solomon, he begins to share this thought of what happens when there is an unfaithful man who finds themselves in times of trouble. When others are putting their confidence, when others are depending upon this person to come through, to stand tall, to resist the opposition that comes against their life or the circumstances that are pressing in around them. He said, if there's confidence in somebody who is unfaithful in times of trouble, he said, it produces a pain. It produces heartache. It produces hurt amongst those who are going to be affected by that one who is unfaithful. Tonight, can I tell you that I love seeing what God is doing in your lives in this camp? I'm thankful tonight for the testimony of 20 years of this fabulous camp and the lives and the testimonies that are shared of what's been changed and the things that have happened. I love to see your praise. I love to hear your prayers. I love to see the tears falling from your eyes. I love to see you rejoice and shout. I love to see you linger in the altars. I'm glad when there are reports that sins are forgiven. and lives are saved. I'm thankful to see we saw so many last night, empty vessels filled and refilled in the Holy Ghost. We were watching young people that were staggering under the power of God, could hardly get to their feet as they were lost in the presence of the Lord. I love to see where there is callings that is being placed upon your lives. As some already in this camp, you could probably stand and testify and say that God has placed a call upon your life, that you feel and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are some things that He has deposited into you, that there are some things that you know must be accomplished, purposes that are going to be fulfilled in and through your life as you serve Him in these days, that He wants to use you for His glory. I'm thankful for all of these things. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that there are so many wonderful benefits of to the sacrifices that have been made, that have made this meeting so worthwhile, even up to this point. All of these wonderful moments, all of these things that we rejoice in. And I love, I'll shout with you. I did a little bit of shouting last night with you. I'll cry with you. I appreciate you getting in the altars. And I love all of these aspects. But if I can echo some of the things that Brother Wilkerson said this morning, I want you to understand, young people, that in these few nights that we have together, that we have to understand there has to be something more than just an emotion of what grabs a hold of our hearts. There's got to be more than goosebumps. As my papa would say, there's got to be more than doodads that run up and down your spine. I love to feel His glory in such a way where the very hair on the back of your neck stands up. I love to feel the intoxication of the power of the Holy Ghost. I love when emotions are riding high. I love when the church is rejoicing. I love when young people are shouting. Don't get me wrong, all of those things are wonderful. But I'm going to tell you tonight, as wonderful as those things are, here in just a couple of nights, we're going to leave the cocoon of this environment. And about the time you pull out of the parking lot, there are going to be demons and devils that are going to try to force themselves to work and fight against everything that you have received this week. There are things that are going to rise up against you and put to the test every commitment and vow that you've made in the altar, every prayer you've prayed, every emotion that you felt. Everything will be tested. Hear me. Everything will be tested. Everything will find a place, amen, as to where you are going to confront various things as you step back into the realities of life. Trials that today that might seem distant, they will come again. Come on here. Oh, Brother Jacob, we don't like this. We want you to preach us happy. Hang on. I believe we need to look at some truth here tonight. Amen. The trials that today seem distant, things and cares that you laid at the altar that right now you've forgotten about, they will do their best to resurrect themselves in your life. Temptations that are dormant. When you leave this house and you get back to your place Friday night, Saturday morning, some of the temptations that are laying dormant right now are going to revisit you. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how loud you got. It doesn't matter how much we shouted. It doesn't matter how much we rejoiced, as good as it is. I want you to understand that these things are going to try to resurface within hours of pulling out of the parking lot. Isolation and inferiority will do its best to intimidate you again. Discouragement and depression are going to do their best to try to leap upon you to make you think, once you face realities, that everything that God had done is not enough to get you through the next chapter of what's down the road. I want you to hear me. I want to be abundantly clear, truth campers. You will find trouble. Amen. You will find trouble. Trouble is going to show up. Oh, Brother Jacob, please, please understand. You're depressing me right now. Would you please be more positive, okay? I'm positive. Some of you just now catching that. I'm positive. Trouble is going to show up. I'm positive as to where you're going to be tempted and tried. I'm positive as to where you are going to face these various things. Trouble will test you, and trouble will intimidate you. Trouble will cause you to question your commitments and your convictions. But my prayer is tonight is that there are some young people here at Truth Camp that you are going to receive a deposit that comes from heaven itself and lodges itself inside of your soul and establishes inside of your heart some young people who are not going to bow and bend or break, but some young people who got some iron in their soul, got some iron in their backbone, got something that God's put inside of them that said, no matter what comes my way, I want to be someone that God can trust in the time of trouble. I want you to understand is that there are others around you who they are going to make a decision on what they do based upon your reaction when you're in trouble. Come on here. We may not shout the house down tonight, but this is going to help you. Hear me. You are your life, your influence. What you do is going to make or break somebody else as they're watching how you are going to handle trouble. Last night I watched youth groups that got together and were praying together in the glory of the Lord, falling in the middle of young people as they were praying one for another. I love to see the bonds of unity that are strengthened. But there's going to be a day, Brother Seth, you're going to be up against something, and there's going to be some of your friends, and they're going to say, well, hang on a second. What's he going to do now? What's he going to do while he's in trouble? What's going to happen when the pressure's been applied? What's going to take place when problems are surrounding? What's going to happen? What's Brother Gus going to do? Come on, somebody. Everybody's got to shout at youth camp. Everybody's got a reason to rejoice. Everybody's got a testimony. But I'm telling you, when the rubber meets the road, what are we going to do when trouble shows up? How are you going to respond? How are you going to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand? Come on here. Because if they're watching some of us fold, come on here. Everybody can have revival when there's enough money. Everybody can have revival when everything's going your way. Everybody can have revival when the feeling's good and the music's pumping and the spirits are high. But I'm telling some young people here tonight, you're going to go back home. And even though Jesus can stand the stink, and even though the conditions are right for rain, you're going to go back to the house. And some of you, when you come in, you got mamas and daddies ain't going to care that you've been at youth camp. Some of you got parents going to cuss you out. Some of you are going to go back in environments where where nobody's going to care what happened here. And you're going to find yourself in a place where trouble's going to meet you toe to toe, eye to eye. Some of you are going to be in environments where you're seeing things you ain't got no business seeing. And trouble's going to try to intimidate you. But my prayer is that God would raise up some young people that'd say, bring the trouble on. Bring on the fight. Bring on the problem. I've got something inside of my soul, and I'm willing to let God trust me with some trouble. Come on here. Come on here. Some of you, you got older siblings. Their lives are a wreck, and it tries to bleed off on you. Come on here. Some of you are going to go back. You'd say, Brother Jake, you don't understand the church. My church, we've been struggling. It's been cold. The youth group's been cold. We've been through this before. We've come back from camp, and a couple weeks later, everybody's out doing their own thing. Brother Jake, in a couple of weeks, I've got school. What am I going to do? I've got right here in this camp, I've got four seniors that's going to go into their senior year at our Christian school. And I talk with them, and I challenge them, and I ask them about things of what's going to happen. And can I tell you, as God began to stir my heart, Brother Wilson, I saw some of these teenagers. This is their last year as campers. Some of them going to colleges. Some of them going to other places. And my prayer is, God, we need some young people who don't just know how to hoop and holler, but we need some young people that when the culture, when the world, when its systems, when its voice is screaming in your ear, you'd say, I know there's trouble, but I'm going to be trusted. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stand. Oh, somebody say, I want God to trust me. Come on. I want God to trust me. I want you to understand tonight, when we talk about trouble, I want you to realize there are some things that I think you young people need to understand. You are a part of a generation where everything nearly comes instantaneously. By the touch of your finger on an app, hey man, you can purchase things and it's at your house the next day. I got tickled, Brother Clay, the other morning. He was getting ready for the kids' campers game time. I said, Brother Clay, I said, is there anything I can help you with? He said, well, over in the main office, I've got an Amazon delivery waiting on me. He needed stuff for game time. So Brother Wilson, he just got on there, clicked, ordered. It was here. I put those boxes on the cart going to Brother Clay. And I had 10 kids stop and say, you got Amazon at camp? Say, yeah, we live in a society, Brother Sean, in an instant we can have whatever it is we want. We live in a society as to where there are some of us, there are some of you, as to where you've been patted, you've been doubted over, you've been complimented, you've been praised. We live in a generation as to where if you just show up and put on a jersey, they're going to put you on the all-star team. They're going to give you a participation trophy. Can I tell you tonight, young person, is that when we get to heaven, God's not going to say, well, come on in because you showed up at a truth camp. Come on in because you was in the preacher's house. Come on in because you went to Brother Goodwin's church. Come on in because you went to Brother Tom's church. Oh, there's no participation trophies in heaven. But I'll tell you who stands in the balconies of glory. It is those that the world was not worthy of. It were those who stand in the face of trouble. And they overcame. Hallelujah. He's not going to say, well done, Seth McDonald. You sure could play that organ. Well done, Benjamin Torbert. Your mom and daddy were missionaries and preached the gospel all over the world. We're just going to let you come on in. It don't work that way. He's going to say, well done, thy good and what? Faithful. What were we faithful to? We were faithful, Brother Aaron, to stand in trouble. We were faithful. We could be trusted with trouble. We were faithful. Listen, we're at a point as to where the human condition, you as young people, we as adults, it is built into our DNA that when there is pain, when there is trouble, when there is tribulation, when there is heartache, we want to run as far as we can. We want to find somewhere. We got major college universities that when kids can't cope with the world, when they can't cope that the President Trump got voted into office, they'll bring in coloring books. I know we're Facebook live, and it's all right. They'll bring in coloring books and service dogs and parakeets and kitty cats, and they want you to love on them, and it'll be okay. We're sorry the world ain't going for you like you want it to. We're sorry that things are tough. It's okay. Find yourself a corner and suck your thumb and hold on to your blankie, and here's you a pacifier. I'm going to tell you, young people, we ain't got time for young people with pacifiers in the mouth. We ain't got time for kids that still need their blankies. May God raise up some young men and young women that'll stand and say, I've made it by the grace of God. I've made it by His power. I'm still standing. Glory to God. I want to tell some young people tonight that when the struggle comes, don't run. When opposition comes, don't wane. Somewhere along the way, we have lost appreciation for the struggle. We've lost appreciation. My uncle, Scott Reynolds, was a fantastic basketball player. Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Doug Pepper, and one of the last revivals that they had preached was there in South Roxanna, Illinois. I was 14 years old at the time, and younger Brother Pepper was talking today, visiting. He said, do you remember me? He would have been about 8 years old at that time. He said, I was just a pesky evangelist kid at that time. He said, but you know what I remember about you, Brother Jake? He said, I remember y'all being in the gym shooting hoops. I said, oh, yeah. I said, I remember your daddy being in there putting the ball in the basket as well. But I had a love to play basketball. And I remember my Uncle Scott, he was a fabulous basketball player. And we'd go down there at my grandma's house. We didn't have a concrete slab at grandma's house. We threw down sawdust on the grass. And we had a wooden backboard up on the back of an oak tree and an iron rim. And I remember those old root wads and everything else would cause the ball to bounce all kind of places. We was dribbling on that sawdust. And my uncle, at that time, I was 9, 10, 11 years old. And Brother Wilson, I'd go down there and we'd play horse. We'd play 21. We'd play one-on-one. And my Uncle Scott would not allow me to win a game to save his life. I mean, I'd go up for a layup and he was 2 foot taller than me and he'd block my shot and laugh at me. He'd say, is that all you got? He'd go down there and he'd be making buckets. There's times and playing 21, I wouldn't even get to shoot the ball. And I mean, Brother Pepper, I'd get fighting mad. I'd throw that ball down. I'd say, you can keep your stinking basketball. I'm going up to Granny's house. And I'd march up the hill to Granny's house, and over my shoulder, Brother Carr, he'd be a hee-hawing and laughing at me the whole way. Oh, I wanted to punch him right in the chin. I know that ain't very sanctified. That's just how I felt. I wanted to get him. But you know what would happen? We'd go down there, we'd eat supper, we'd eat lunch, he'd be down there. Brother Sean, he'd go out on the porch. We kept the basketball in a flower pot. He'd pull that basketball out and he'd start bouncing that ball. And he'd bounce that ball, Brother Smith, all the way down the yard, down the court. And I'd sit at that kitchen table and I knew what was going to happen. I knew he was going to eat my lunch. I knew he was going to embarrass me. But Brother Torbert, lo and behold, like a lamb to the slaughter, I would get up from that chair and I'd make my way down there. I couldn't stand it. I had to go down there. And once again, he'd beat me. And once again, he would beat me. And once again, he would beat me. But see, something was happening that I didn't recognize and I didn't realize. I was struggling and I was frustrated and I was mad and I was upset. But the whole time he was beating me, he was doing something to my character. The whole time I was struggling, there was something happening in my body. There was something happening to my skills. And there came a day I went down there, Brother Seth, and because I knew he wasn't going to take it easy, this time he met a young man that was a little bit stronger and a little bit more experienced. And I'll never forget the day when I whipped my uncle all over that sawdust pad. I'll tell you, we've got to get back to the point where we appreciate the struggle one more time. Quit trying to find a fast fix every time something hard comes up against your life. Stand and say, God will trust, I will be able to be trusted in the trouble. Because you've appreciated some of that struggle. Come on here. Here's what I want to present to you tonight. I got to hurry. I want to present this to you tonight. I believe what I've come to learn is that trouble will actually give you some gifts. You ain't got to run from it. You ain't got to try to hide from it. Don't get me wrong. The Lord will deliver us out of trouble. Come on here. Don't get me wrong. He's still a way maker. He'll still take you through the fire. He'll still lead you through flooded waters. He'll still take you through these places. But you know what I've come to find when I read the Word of God is God's men and God's women, they were never exempt from trouble. But they had to learn of what they could do in the middle of trouble. Hear me. Everybody wants position. Everybody wants on the platform. Everybody wants behind an instrument. Everybody wants a title. Everybody, we more in this day and age in this church, we got professional singers. We got professional piano players. We got professional preachers. We got professional. We got more staff. We got more kids. We got more people lining up saying, would you put me in this position? Would you use me in this way? Oh, Brother Sean, could we please be done? Would you put me over this? Would you let me do that? We got more professionals. We got more talent than we've ever seen. But what we need more than professionalism and talent, we need some folks that are full of power. We need some folks that have been in the test. We need some folks that's been in the furnace. We need some folks that have learned some things because of trouble. Because of trouble. So, I want to present to you tonight three gifts that I believe that trouble will give to you. Trouble, because fulfillment comes only when we give our all. Respect is earned from respecting the process, and process takes time. Process takes courage, and it takes commitment. I'm going to ask, make sure I've got these right. Brother Gus, won't you come on up here and open this gift? When you look at trouble, you can look at it as something that's come to conquer you, or you can look at it as something that's come to teach you something. to give you a gift. What you got there, Brother Gus? Now, this is a tricky question. People's watching. They know you go to Harvest Time Christian Academy. Is your teacher in here? Yeah. Did you hear that? He said, yes. Okay, here's the question. You ready? What do you use a watch to do?
No, I'm just kidding. Tell time.
Congratulations, you are the winner. Let me see that for a second. Thank you. You can be seated. The first gift that I believe comes with trouble is time. What did the Word of God say? Confidence in an unfaithful man win in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble. Like I said, we are often looking, we want to fast forward some things. We want to be an overnight success. We look at the world and we look at grandeur and we look at various things. There are people even within the church world that you look at and say, oh, if I could be like so-and-so, if I could preach like Brother Goodwin, if I could do this like so-and-so in my church, if I could do all of these things. And here's something that we forget is that all of the things that are good, it takes time. We are a young people that we want everything done yesterday. We want it microwaved. We want it prepackaged. We want a bow on it. We want oak trees. We want all the fabulous shiny things. We want all of the good things that life can give. We want everybody to ooh and all about our experience with God. We want to be able to stand and be somebody in the kingdom. There's nothing wrong with that ambition, but I will tell you to get there. If you're going to be trusted with trouble, you're going to have to learn to accept the gift of time and understand that God says while you are in trouble, there is a process of time that you've got to go through. Give somebody a high five and say, what time is it? What time is it? I'm not timing how long I've been preaching. Time. Somebody once said time is of the essence. Apostle Paul said redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ecclesiastes said to everything. Somebody say everything. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. I want to remind you tonight that when we look at time and when we look at seasons, I want you to understand that one of the things that kind of makes me cringe in the church world is there are people that will stand and testify, and there are even preachers that will preach, and I believe the testimonies and the preaching is a little bit erroneous because they are taking something out of context. And what I mean by is this, they will say things like, the devil is in control of the season and the time that I'm in. And there's something within me, Brother Stephen, that cringes a little bit because we should not be relinquishing power of season and time to Satan, because my Bible tells me that seasons have been created by God, that he has the originator of time. Time and season is in his hands. The Bible lets me know in Genesis that in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. He put the sun, the moon, and the stars into space. And he said, let it be for signs and for seasons. Can I tell somebody? Daniel said that the times and seasons are in his hands. He setteth up kings and he pulleth down kings. I want to let somebody know, if you're in a time of trouble, if you're in a season of trouble, don't you dare give power to the devil thinking that he is the one in control of that season. You ought to understand is that God is the one that created the season, and we ought to be able to stand and say, God, while I'm in this season, while I'm in this time, while I'm in this trouble, I want you to trust me with the time, because I'm going to trust your processes. I'm going to trust your season. Hear me. What I want you to understand, time on our end, time in your trouble is not eternal. It's seasonal. It's seasonal. There are wildernesses and there are troubles and there are oppositions that you're going to face. And in the moment, we want to hurry out of it because we think, is this ever going to end? But God is wanting to condition you in the processes of your trouble and your tribulation. And He wants to know, can I trust you with the time that is involved with the trouble? Can I trust you with the time that is involved with trouble? Let me read this here very quickly. The researchers say that the Chinese bamboo tree, it is planted, nurtured, and watered. For 4 years, nothing happens. For 4 years. So, whoever goes out and plants a Chinese bamboo tree, they can dig their hole. They can put the sprout in the ground. They can cover it with the dirt. They can mark off that spot. And Brother Torbert, every day they can go and put water on it. Every day the sun can shine on it. Every day they can go and weed around it to make sure there's nothing that would obstruct its growth. But for 4 years, there's nothing. Could you imagine? I wonder how many people, and I would dare say I'm not going to stand up here and act uber spiritual and tell you, well, bless God, I'd just endure those 4 years. I promise you, I would get a little bit impatient and say, well, it just must not be the Lord's will that I have a Chinese bamboo tree. I mean, it's year number one, nothing. Year number two, nothing. Year number three, nothing. Year number four, nothing. But there's something that happens in the process of time, because the research says that in year number five is that bamboo tree, it will begin to grow. And within 6 weeks of the fifth year, that tree will shoot up over 80 foot tall. And can I ask you the question? Do you think that that tree only grew in the fifth year and shot up 80 foot? No, sir. No, ma'am. Because what time would not allow you to see on the surface? There was something going on down beneath. There was a root system that was being built. There was some establishment that was going on. I want to tell somebody, you might be in the time of trouble, but let God trust you, because He's building some roots. He's putting something down in you that when it's time to sprout, when it's time to grow, you will be able to stand in the process of life. Time. Somebody say time. Time. The process of time. There's another gift. There's another gift. Let's see. Sister Emma. Bless her heart. She just went, I've picked on these boys all week, so I need a girl for this. Open that gift for me. Pull it out. Show us what it is. Show everybody what it is. All right. Here's the big question. Can you identify the object you pulled out? What is it?
A mirror.
A mirror. If you didn't hear, it's a mirror. Now I'm going to ask you, hold on, don't put it up yet. I'm going to ask you, look in the mirror. What do you see? You see yourself, right? Congratulations, you got all the answers correct. Give her a hand clap. I want to tell you another gift that trouble will give you. It'll reveal who you are. Trouble is a truth teller. Somebody who has stood in trouble, come on here. We can put a suit on, Brother Gus. You can put on your tie. I ain't gonna talk about your hat. We can shine our shoes. Come on here. We can put on a smile. We can sing a song. We can stand in the church and give the best testimony. Come on here. But what trouble will do is it'll cause you to take a look. It'll cause you to take a look at yourself. It'll cause you, because what happens is a lot of times is that with all these other external things, it's a matter of what we'd call, see, I grew up in the Ozarks, and we had something that was called a fox hunt. And a fox hunt, we had old hound dogs, hunting dogs, that would go out there and they'd run them foxes. And the last night of a fox hunt, they would take them old hunting dogs, and those dogs had been scratched up by briars, and they had bits out of their ears and everything else. But those hunters, they'd take them dogs, and they was rough looking. They were not of stellar pedigree, I promise you. But they'd put them on those old wooden tables, and they'd lift their head up, and they'd lift their tail up, and they'd straighten out their stance, and those old dogs would stand up there, and they called that putting on the dog. Come on here. Those dogs was beat up, scuffed up, and those hunters, boy, they was serious about putting on the dog so they could win that big plastic trophy and take it to their house that they had the grand prize winning dog at the fox hunt. And we come into God's house and we'll put on the dog. We'll act like everything's all right. We'll act like everything's going good. We'll act like everything's as it should be. Brother Tom, we'll sing our songs. We'll preach our messages, but I'll tell somebody here tonight, it's that when you're in trouble, trouble's got a mirror, and trouble will cause you to look in it, and trouble will say, I know what you're showing everybody else, but trouble will pull something out of the inside of you. I want to ask a young person here tonight, can you be trusted with trouble? When trouble reveals what's going on inside of your heart, inside of your life, I pray that when you have to look and see the reflection, that we can stand not in arrogancy, not in pride, but stand in power and say, I've come this far by faith. I'm standing in a place today, and God's revealed some things in my character because of trouble. Trouble will make you take a look at what's really going on, because there are some that when you leave here, if you don't get what God has for you, when trouble shows up, you might find yourself running. When trouble shows up, you might find yourself denying Him. When trouble shows up, you might be cussing around campfires. Come on, somebody. When trouble shows up, you might not be who you was at truth camp. Oh, when trouble shows up, it might expose you don't have a prayer life. When trouble shows up, it might reveal you haven't been in the Word. When trouble shows up, it might reveal you have not been worshiping to change the atmosphere. Come on, somebody. When trouble shows up, it might reveal some weakness. But I pray to God, let there be the windows of heaven opened in our lives so that God can pour in and fill up and strengthen our character. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in trouble. Come on here. Just bow down. No furnace. Just bow down. Their mamas and daddies weren't with them. Their pastors weren't around. They were slaves. They were in a foreign land. You know what? They were away from their church. They were away from their youth group. Holy Ghost wants somebody to hear this right now. They was away from the wings of mom and daddy. They was away from the cover, the protection of the environment. Come on here. On a place to where now you're calling your own shots. Some of you now, you've got liberties and independence and you're doing your own thing. And you can do things behind closed doors and you can do things in the privacy where nobody else is looking. You can do things and say things and think you're getting away with it. But I'm here to tell you is that trouble will reveal who you are. Trouble will tell the truth on you. Trouble will spell out what exactly is going on in your life. Trouble will read your mail. Trouble will let everybody else know that when you are in trouble, just bow down, just yield, just give in, and there's no pain. Just give in, and there's no trial. Just give in, and there's no isolation. Just give in, and no eyes are on you. Just give in. But I pray, brothers, Wilkerson preached about Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He would stay true to God. I pray that if God can trust you with trouble, when it reveals some things in your life, let there be a reflection of who he is. Let there be a reflection of what God's put in your soul. I'm going to tell you, you ain't got to be a pretender. You can be a young man or a young woman who stands on your own two feet. Thank God, mom and daddy got you where you are. Thank God, pastor got you where you are. Thank God, youth pastor got you where you are. Thank God, your youth camps got you where you are. But there are some of you, come Friday, come Monday, you're standing in a place where trouble is going to make you take a long, hard look at who you are. Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought I threw three in there. Come on here. They were in trouble. They couldn't get past the furnace. But Brother Torbert, what I want every young person to know that when they're in the time of trouble and when it's going to reveal some things, when the fire's applied and it's got to be revealed what's going on in their life, is that you are not there by yourself. You are not there. Mom and daddy may not be able to be there. There are some places you've got to go that nobody else can go. But the Word of God lets me know, I've got a present help in the time of trouble. I've got somebody that stands with me. He's with me in the flood. He's with me in the fire. Let him see Jesus in my testimony, because I'm willing to stand in trouble. I've got to move on. This is it. Forgive me. I know this is a little long, but I want you to understand. Daniel, his character was revealed in trouble. Joseph, his character was revealed in trouble. The last thing I want to present to you tonight is that trouble will give you a gift of time in trouble. Trouble will give you the gift of telling the truth about you and revealing who you really are while you're in trouble. But here's something that I appreciate about trouble. Would you come help me, sir? This is the last gift that tonight, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but this is the last one I want to mention. Go ahead and open it. Go ahead and pull it out. Go ahead and roll it out. And what this is, I know it's not Armani. It's not Gucci. What's that? Sadly, it's not Joseph A. Banks, wherever it is you shop. It's not Sears and Roebuck, J.C. Penney. But this is a robe. This is a garment. Do you mind? I know you're dressed nice. Do you mind to put this on for me? The Hensons. The Hensons. It's all right. Looks good on you. The Hensons sang a song, The Original Superman. Yeah. If you, some of you young people look at me and you don't know who the Hensons are, you better YouTube the Hensons. They wrote a song, the original Superman. And the lines had said, he don't hide in a phone booth. He ain't never had a change of plans. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because Clark Kent, before he could go fight crime, before he could go save the world, he would step into a phone booth. He would go into a phone booth one way, and he would take off his glasses, and he would take off his suit, and he would come out, and he would step out of that phone booth transformed. I believe that one of the things that would happen, now I know that's just a silly representation, but see, old Superman, a transformation happened when the world was in trouble. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you tonight is that when you are in trouble, that one of the gifts that trouble will give you, if you will allow trouble to let time change the processes in your life, if you'll let it reveal some things in your life, there's something that trouble does. It'll put something on you. It'll put something inside of you, and you will come out of trouble transformed. You will come out of trouble different than the way you went in. You might have went in scared. You might have went in with tears. You might have went in with doubts and insecurities, but I'm telling you that trouble will give you a gift that if you will let patience have its perfect work, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You can step out from where you are, and the things that used to torment you, the things that used to destroy you, God will help put it under your feet because you have experienced the transformation that trouble will give you. I know there's not a big S on here. Come on here. But some of us need a big C that says, I'm a Christian. Come on. Some of us need a big B that says, I'm a believer. Somebody needs to be able to stand in the world that's been transformed. Come on, somebody. Joseph was thrown in the prison. He was lied on. Joseph was in trouble. He was thrown in the dungeon, but he didn't go sucking his thumb. He didn't go talking about how bad God was to him, but he kept on serving even while he was in trouble. He kept on serving even while he was in trouble. As a matter of fact, can I tell you, it wasn't until Joseph was in prison that he discovered that God would use him to interpret dreams. Up until then, Brother Tommy Goodwin, he was given dreams. But when he was in trouble, come on, somebody, it wasn't until he was in trouble and he was in the time of trouble and trouble was revealing things about him that he came out of that prison transformed. Can I tell somebody that while you're in trouble, there are some giftings and some callings. There are some words that God will speak to you from heaven. There are some things that God will deposit in your soul, and he'll begin to transform. He was blessed in Potiphar's house when he went in, but he was transformed by the trouble. And when he came out, he was under the power and the anointing of God and began to look at Pharaoh and said, I can tell you everything that God has declared. And you know what he did? Because trouble transformed him, Brother Wilkerson, he saved the known world. You know what Pharaoh did? When the baker, or my mind slips right now, the baker, butler, one's life was saved. And they said, oh, I remember there was a man when I was in trouble. Come on, somebody. You may not catch all this right now. There was a man when I was in trouble, and I was troubled in my dreams. And he told me, he revealed to me what God was, and he said everything, I'm paraphrasing, everything he said was true. And Pharaoh said, get him out of the prison. Get him out of that prison. Can I tell you, you may think God's forgotten you while you're in trouble, but you don't escape the all-seeing eye of the Savior. When the time is right, when the truth has been revealed, get ready for transformation. God will call you up and he'll use you to change the course of the world. You know what the Bible said? Joseph shaved his beard, shaved his head, and put on new clothes. He went in stripped of all that he had. Watch it, Joseph. But he stood before Pharaoh, and when he stood up there, he didn't look like no prisoner. He didn't look like some body who'd been abandoned in the dungeon, but he stood there as a servant of the Most High God. And he said, what's your trouble, Pharaoh? Tell me what your trouble is. Tell me what your dream is. Tell me what's going on. We need some young people that'll look at the world around them and say, what is your trouble? What is your pain? What is your heartache? What's going on? Some of you need to go into your schools and say, why are you sad? Where's your joy? I know a Savior. I've come out of the trouble. I've been transformed. I can got a message. God's put a word in my heart. God's done something in my life. God can trust me with trouble. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Brother Poole, we need some more young people transformed by trouble. We need some teenagers that aren't running from it, but they're transformed by it. Music, if you'd come, I want to ask you, can God trust you with trouble? You can be seated. Oh. Come on, young people, lift your hands in this house. Oh, come on, right now where you are, I want you to begin to worship. I want you to begin to praise him. I want you to begin. I know this might sound funny, but I want somebody in this house who's brave enough to thank him for the trouble. I want some young people that's brave enough that's going to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you. Thank you for the trouble. Thank you for the process. Thank you. Come on. Come on, young people. The Holy Ghost is here. The Lord is speaking to hearts right now. There's some of you right now, you're walking in broken places of your life. You're walking in some things that nobody else understands or knows about. You're in a time of trouble, but God wants to know, can he trust you? Can he trust you while you're in trouble? I'm going to ask, I'm not going to linger, but I'm going to ask every young person. There's some already responding. I want you to come to these altars. I want you to come tonight to find a place. Oh, to say, God, I want you to be able to trust me. I want you to be able to trust me. Oh, come on, young people. I want you to push in and persevere. I tonight want you to linger and tarry. Oh, tonight I want you to let God deposit something inside of your soul that's going to help you. Something that's going to help you in the time of trouble. Something that's going to reveal the truth. Something that's going to transform. Something that's going to help you in the process of time. God's looking for some young ladies. God's looking for some young men. Come on, that's it, young people. Lift your voice to heaven. Some of you in the middle of trouble. Some of you going to face trouble. Oh, but can God trust you? Come on. Some of you right in the middle of it right now. Come on. We shouted last night. We can shout some more later. But let's shout when we know that God can trust us with some trouble. Let's shout when we know that God has put some, developed some character inside of us. Oh, oh, sarabalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal With you tonight. Come on. I need some young people in this house who'd say, I'm in some trouble, preacher. I'm in some trouble. It's not a mark of disgrace. It's a badge of honor. We're going to stand. We're going to be resilient. We're going to overcome. We're going to fight. God, put some iron in my soul. God, give me some power. Give me stability.
When I walk through